The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen. Daf Nun Het. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Victor Gindi, Hashem Yishmeru V'Hayehu, for continued Hatzlacha in all his endeavors, continued success, Bri'ut, health, happiness, and all good things. Amen.
Today's daf is being studied by Adon Ishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenechenu Ben Eden. Amen. Verfuat Shelema Yosef Ben Sarah. Rahamim Ben Adel Sarah Bat Rachel. Enna Refana Lahem Betoch She'ar Chole Amo Yisrael. Amen. Begin today's daf on Nun Chet Amud Rishon. And we are four lines from the top. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Notnin La Hakol Teruma. We learned in our Mishnah that a betula, after she's married, I should say engaged, for 12 months, from the time of the tivi'ah, from the time that he proposes to her, so he has 12 months to marry her. After those 12 months already, she starts receiving mezonot, and if the husband is a kohen, and she is, let's say, Bat Israel for practical purposes, she can start eating terumah. And Rabbi Tarfon's opinion was, not only could she start eating teruma, but he can give her all her salary, all her mezonot in teruma, and it's her problem. What's her problem? Because part of the month she's teme'ah. So she's going to have to go out now and sell the teruma, because she can't eat it betum'ah, and she'll buy honin with it, and that'll be her mezonot. So you'll have to give the whole salary of mezonot in teruma. So the Gemara says, "Amar Abaye, machloket bebat kohen lekohen." This whole machloket, whether you give her half teruma or half and half mezonot, or you give her full teruma, that was only talking about where a bat kohen is marrying a kohen, which means a bat kohen already is accustomed to be eating teruma. She ate teruma before she got married, before she got engaged. She ate teruma in her father's house. And therefore, she's accustomed of knowing how to deal with teruma betuma. She knows when she comes to meha, she sells the teruma, so she's accustomed to that. So in that case over there, then Rabbi Tarfon allowed to give the whole thing teruma. So since she's a bat kohen, we're not worried that she's going to get confused, because she always eats teruma and she has teruma, so she'll know what to do. Aval bebat Yisrael kohen. However, if she's a bat Yisrael that's not accustomed to eating teruma, and she gets engaged to the kohen, devrei hakol mechsa cholin u'mechsa teruma, everybody holds 50-50. Why? Because since she's not accustomed to be eating teruma betuma, so we don't want to challenge her. So therefore, we give her 50 teruma, 50%, and she'll eat that when she's teruma. And during the teme'ah times of the month, we give her cholin. Amar Abaye, Abaye gives another very important rule. Machloket ba'arusa. This whole machloket over here between Rabbi Tarfon and the rabbis, how much teruma you give her, that's machloket dafka by an arusa, where she's engaged, and she is a bat kohen. She needs both things. Bat kohen, that we established already. Now, she's also only during a time of engagement. Why? Because at the time of engagement, she's still living by her parents, her father's house, and therefore, he'll help her. She'll go home to her father's house with the teruma. She'll say, you know, Dad, I'm teme'a this time of the month. The father who's a kohen will help us sell the teruma, and therefore, you can give her all teruma according to Rabbi Tarfon, because she's still an arusa, so the father will help us sell it. Aval benisua, but let's say she's nisua. Let's say she gets married. Okay, and we're talking about a case over here where, let's say, she's separated from the husband. So the husband is sending her mezonot, sending her We're not talking about when they're living together in this case of Nisu'ala. She says, talking about a case where he has to send her mizonot to the house, but basically she's alone. Devrei akol mechsa cholin or mechsa terumah, because she doesn't have anybody to help her sell the terumah, so everybody agrees it's 50-50. Tanya and Me'achir have a brighter to support these two conditions that we just said on the Mishnah. Bitafon Omer, notim lo hakol terumah. That's the first sheet. Bitafon says the whole thing she gets paid in terumah or mizonot. Rabbi Akiva Omer, mechsa cholin or mechsa terumah. But Rabbi Akiva says 50-50. This is only talking about what? Where it's a bat kohen. Like we said, it's a custom that anybody eating terumah v'tumah, meaning she knows that she has to sell it and buy chulin. She's accustomed to this concept of bat yisrael a kohen, but she's a bat yisrael that's not accustomed to eating terumah at all. Devrei akol, mechsa chulin, or mechsa terumah. Everybody says that it's got to be 50-50. This is only talking about arusa, which means she still has a connection to her father's house, so she's a bat kohen. She can go home. Her father will help her sell the terumah v'tumah in order to buy. So she's married, meaning she's living alone after she gets married, with the husband sending her her mizonot. The Gemara brings the continuation of the Braita. So we have, let's review the Shitot. Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon says your feet are all terumah. Rabbi Akiva says mechsa mechsa. Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera Omer, so third Shita, notnim la shte yadot shel terumah v'had shel cholin. He comes along and breaks up the proportion differently. He says 2/3 terumah, 1/3 chulin. That's how you give it to her. Not 50-50. So the Maharshal explains, where do you get this from? So he says like this, because normally a lady, how many days of the month is she tume'ah? So says, let's say on average, she sees nidud for 3 days. After she sees nidud for 3 days, she has to wait zayin, nikiim. She's tume'ah 10 days of the month. That's 1/3 of the month. So therefore, divide the terumah chulin according to the days of tume'ah, and therefore 2/3 Tirumah for the 20 days that she's Tirumah, and 1/3 Chulin to the 10 days that she is Tirumah. Fourth Shita, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Noten Nahakol Tirumah, which sounds like Rabbi Tarfon. You give her all Tirumah, Vihi Mocheret Velokahat Bedamim Chulin, and she sells, and she buys Chulin with the money. So that she is bothered with this question. Look at the Rashi. Rashi says, "Rabbi Yehuda omer notin nakol terumah ben Rabbi Yehuda the Rabbi Tarfon ika." There is enough coming up between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Tarfon. The il Rabbi Tarfon sman notin terumah kede mezonotea, which means according to Rabbi Tarfon, you give her exactly the amount of terumah, which would be equivalent to how much mezonot you would give her. Let's say you give her, I don't know. Let's say talking in pounds. Let's say you're giving her 5 pounds of mezonot. So you give her 5 pounds of chulin of terumah, let's say. Va'afapishim sidicha lechulin ubal demkor terumah en demet terumah magi'a likach ba'en chulin sharei yikarim emin terumah shakol kofshin alehem. Which means, even though now when she's going to sell the same poundage of terumah, she's not going to get the same money as what she would have had if she would have had chulin, because terumah is less expensive. Because you don't have too many buyers of terumah. And therefore the hadush of Rabbi Tarfon is, you just give up whatever you would have given, let's say for chulin, you give the whole thing in terumah, even though she'd end up with less. Because she would not be able to sell her terumah really for the same value as if she would have had chulin. Continue Rashi with Rabbi Yehuda, notina terumah kishi'ud. Rabbi Yehuda argued, when you say akol terumah, you give her a little more terumah. She imbat nikach mechsa chulin, lo tefchot min demem mechsit chulin. Which means, you give her the value of terumah that when she'll sell it, it'll come up to the same price as normally if she would have got half on. So give her a little more. Aval torach mechira mutal alei lemkor letitah tachat chulin. Everybody holds, ben Rabbi Yehuda, ben Rabbi Tarfon, she's got to sell. Which means, one according to the Bitar, when she's selling it, she's going to get less than the value of if it would have been chulin. According to the Biyudah, she's going to get a little more terumah, but she's got to go out and sell it to break even to get exactly what she would have had if she had chulin. And we go to the next shita. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, kol makom shuzkera terumah notlim na kiflayim bechulim. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says, you give her twice the amount of terumah. Why? Because whenever you want a lady, or you know she's going to sell it for chulin, so Rabbi Shimon holds that what? You want to make it easy for her. You don't even want her to go look for a customer
and for a fair price and all that. So therefore, whatever chulin you would have given her, give her twice the amount of teruma. Now it's very easier for her to sell it. She just sells it for whatever price she gets, because she knows she has so much, she'll end up with the fair amount of chulin. So the Gemara says, "My benayu, what's enough coming up between this shita that says you give her all teruma as well, between the shita of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Tarfon that we said above, you give her all teruma?" The Gemara says, "Ika benayu tirha." According to this Leshtar, a bunch of people, it's still Tirhafa, which is the other she taught. She got to go find customers, it's Tirha, to get the right price. Here she has so much Tiruma, so she don't get it still to look for a customer and sell it for a price. She'll even sell it for cheap, because if she has so much Tiruma, double, then she'll end up with a fair amount. Yeah, she do it quickly. It's not difficult for her. And she says, so basically, that is the subject of this last ketah over here. So if you want to just capsulize it, the subject is like this. When the Mishnah said, you give her teruma, first of all teruma is only said by a bat kohen. Everybody agrees by a bat to say it's 50-50. And that which we say is only when she's still arusa. Bat kohen arusa, she go home, her father will help sell it and stuff like that. But if she's niswa, she's on her own, then we don't say all teruma. And we just saw some other shitot over here, how you calculate it. Some say all teruma means pound for pound, whatever chulin you would have given her, you just give it to her as teruma. Some say no, you add a little more, in order that when she sells, because she's going to sell it for a cheaper price, it'll equal the amount of chulin that you would have gotten. And some say you actually give her double the amount, because we don't even want to have tirha when she's making the sale. Mishnah continues. A quote from the Mishnah that is, Hayavam eno machir b'truma. What's the case? Guy was married. Actually, he's engaged. And let's say he was engaged for 6 months for argument's sake. That was one of the cases of the Mishnah. And then he died. Okay, now she falls to the Yavam. So we said, even though she stays another 6 months with this Yavam, so altogether, technically, she was engaged for 12 months. The Yavam is not ma'achil teruma. Only the original Baal is ma'achil b'teruma after 12 months. Then we said, even if, let's say, she was engaged for 12 months minus one day to the first guy, and then one day to the Yavam, so altogether you have 12 months, doesn't matter. The Yavam is never ma'achil her teruma. So the Yavam says, my ta'ama, kinyan kaspo amar achmana, v'ay kinyan, it's not a kinyan. Who eats teruma? Anybody that's considered kinyan kaspo, your acquisition. Well, this girl is really not the Yavam's acquisition per se. She's really coming from the acquisition of the brother. The deceased really had the kinyan. He's just picking up the mitzvah of Yibum. So since it's not kinyan kaspo of the Yavam, cannot be machila teruma. And as she points out, v'chi mayitle, when the first husband dies, pakale kinyano, well, his kinyan falls away. Aval kansa, but pay attention. When the yavam marries the lady, then of course hadei ishto lechol davar. Then already she's his regular wife. Vakatuv kira ishto. Now you just have to know that. Don't think that when a yavam gets married to yavama, it's not his wife. It's considered a full fledged wife. Tichtiv velakeha lo leisha. That's by yibum. The kinyana bibia. Now, v'chiyechi dekidushe bi'ah ma'achinim ba'arusa, which is just like bi'ah by a regular girl, is koneha, meaning to eat teruma, de'itku shavayot la'adad, because we learned that just like kesef and shtar is ma'achil b'truma, so to bi'ah also is ma'achil b'truma, kach ma'achinim b'yibamad. When you have bi'ah with the yibamad, it's a full-fledged wife, now she just points out that for sure she's going to eat teruma. Now the Gemara says, the Mishnah gave two cases. 6 months by the husband, 6 months by the Yavam. And then the Mishnah gave a case also, actually the first case in the Mishnah was, well, let's say she spent, actually the second case, she spent 12 months minus one day by the husband, and then one day by the Yavam. So the Gemara asks, Hashta b'fnei ba'al amart lo. Which means, if you're telling me she spent the majority of her days by the Baal, 12 months minus one day, and you still told me what? She doesn't get to eat teruma. Bifnei yavam mivaya. Do you have to tell me the second case, if she says she spent the majority of her days by the yavam? Which means the hiddush is, You're telling me it's superfluous. If she spent the majority of days by the Baal, still she doesn't eat by the Yavam. So of course she can, if she spent the majority of days by the Yavam, she's not going to eat. So we have to tell me that case, but she spent the majority of days by the Yavam. The Mishnah is working with a style of, once it told you the first case, it did not have to tell you the second case. Once I told you if she spent the majority of days by the husband, and then he died, and she spent the minority of days by the Baal, she doesn't eat by the Yavam. She doesn't eat all the more so if she didn't spend the majority of days. Why did the Mishnah say? It's working with a zoo. The Insanik Lomar Zoo Ketari. She said, once I gave the first case, we didn't have to give the second case. That's the style sometimes that the Mishnah employs. Now we have a fantastic Malokar over here between Rashi and Tosfot. Must be pointed out. Tosfot in the bottom. If you remember that she and the Mishnah learned, what if she spent 12 months by the Baal? Where technically she started to eat Teruma by the Baal, then the Baal died and she fell to Yibum. That she said it makes no difference. The bottom line, once she falls to the Yavam, even if it was 12 full months, Tosfot argues. Tosfot says, no. Once already she spent 12 months by the Baal and she started to eat Teruma as a result of it, then in Echrameh the Yavam picks up and she will eat the Teruma. So it's important to keep that. And Tosfot learns, but it says Kenyan Kaspot, it's not Kenyan Kaspot. So Tosfot says that's only an Asmachta. That really means the Torah, it is Kenyan Kaspot, the Yavam, and therefore she will eat Teruma if she started to eat by the husband. So I said, keep in mind, big Mahloket Legaber, the 12 month case. I mean, if she has a proof, technically, the Mishnah didn't bring that case. Mishnah was scared, I mean, that Tosfot has approved. Why did the Mishnah bring that case now? An only broke case, 12 months minus a day. If it was 12 months, same law, bring the case of the 12 months in the big Haidush. Anyway, that's the Machlok. Right, there's a Zika, there's a connection. She's really meant to Tosfot saying that what? That really there is a Kenyan technically over here that the Yavam, let's say, inherits, we'll say. Comes the Yamaran continues. Zu Mishnah Rishonah. Let's review what the Mishnah Rishonah and the Mishnah Acharonah was. What do we say in the Mishnah? Originally, the law is like this. After Tiviyah for 12 months, according to Mishnah Rishonah, once the 12 months pass, she starts eating Teruma. Zu Mishnah Rishonah. But the Mishnah Acharonah came along and said, no, not after 12 months. You don't start eating Teruma until Kinisa L'Chupa. Until she actually enters the Chupa. So the Gemara says, Zu Mishnah Rishonah. My Ta'ama, what's the reason of for this takana? Amar Olav Etimah Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Mishum Simfon. What's the reason why the rabbis made a takana Simfon? What's a Simfon? You're worried that he might see a blemish, and he might nullify the Simfon means to nullify. He might nullify his marriage, which means if you're not allowed to eat after 12 months before the Chuppah, what's going to happen? She's going to start eating Teruma. Beautiful. Now they go to the Chuppah. He looks at her and he sees that she has a blemish. He's going to come along retroactively in the Mivatid, the Kiddushin. Now what's going to happen? She ended up eating Teruma unlawfully. So the reason why the rabbis changed their mind is because of Simfon. Because of the concern of Bitul. So the Gemara says, Bishtama li'ula, according to Ula's logic that explains the second takana was because of Simfon, he says, very good. I understand the two takanot. Kamaita shimayim zegula kos bebet abiyah. Ubatraita mishum Simfon. I understand the reasons of the takanot, which means the reason of the first takana, that what, why did Minat Torah, keep in mind, Minat Torah and Arusa can eat Teruma. Arusa, day one, when she comes to Arusa, she can eat Teruma Minat Torah. Why are the rabbis in Mishnah Rishonah say you gotta wait 12 months? Because they were concerned that since she's in Arusa, she still goes back home to her father. Right? To the house. And we're concerned what's gonna end up happening. She's gonna take some Teruma, she's gonna feed her siblings. And they're not Kohanim. So therefore we understand the logic of Mishnah Rishonah is what, the reason why we put her 12 months, after 12 months as was mentioned, now already the husband gives her own residence because he's feeding her, and we're not worried she's going to go back home to the father. And we understand Mishnah Shiniyah, the logic was, why they changed from that, because they had the reason of Simfon. Because while the 12-month item solves the issue of going home, but it doesn't solve the issue that he might see some blemish in her, so therefore the rabbis made a second takana that 12 months is not enough. Only after you go into the chuppah, where he's able to see her. So I understand, according to Ula, the logic of the two takanot. Takana number one, put it to 12 months so she doesn't go back home to her father's house. Takana number two was concerned about Simfon. However, so again, Bishtama li'ula, two lines at the bottom.
Kamaita Shemim Zigula Kospe Bet Abiya.
The first takana is based on what? That we were that she might feed it to her siblings. Ubataita takana number two is Mishum Sifon.
However, Ela Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Now Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda said, Kamaita Mishum Sifon, Ubataita Mishum Sifon.
He said both takanot are Mishum Sifon.
So the Gavra comes along and says, My Benayu,
which means he's saying the reason why the first takana is why they waited 12 months is because they're worried about the problem of Sinfon. And the second takana, the reason why they pushed it up to Chuppah is because they're worried about Sinfon. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Why were the rabbis, what changed? If it was the same Gezerah from beginning to the end, what changed? It's the same Gezerah. It's not a new Gezerah. So why did they add some time? Now, let's discuss. What's the Sinfon in the first case? Sinfon in the first case, we explained, eating after 12 months. What do you mean? How does that take care of the problem of Sinfon? So we learned on yesterday's daf that what would he do after 12 months before he would start feeding her? He would send the relatives to go check her to see if she doesn't have any blemishes, because he doesn't want to waste his money. He's not going to start feeding her if she has a blemish. So therefore, initially, you also worry about Sinfon, right? And then what's the Gemara say? Then we upped it up to the Chuppah because of Sinfon. What do you mean? The first reason was Sinfon. You solved the Sinfon reason already. Yeah. Why do you got to make another takana to push it up to the Chuppah again because of Sinfon? So the Gemara says, "My Benayu."
Gemara says, "Ika Benayu Bidikat Chutz." The issue is over here, Bidikat Chutz, which means do you rely on inspection outside of the husband? Do you rely on family inspection? Mor Sabar, the first Mishnah holds Bidikat Chutzim Abidikah. You can rely on them. And therefore, after 12 months, when he sends his family members to go check her out, you can rely when they come back and tell him she's okay, you can trust her. Therefore, start feeding Tinuah. We're not worried that he's going to see something and he's going to retract. Mor Sabar, Mishnah Shinia holds Bidikat Chutzim Abidikah. We don't rely on the family. We want him to see it for himself. So therefore, they pushed it up to the Chuppah. So therefore, it was both Mishum Sinfon. But the first takana was what? We figured the family will solve it for him. She's after 12 months, let him send the family member to go check her out, come back, report, she's okay. First Mishnah says, you know what? You can trust them. Therefore, start feeding her Tiruma immediately. Second Shita says, no, you can't rely on them. He's got to see it himself. Again, because of Sinfon. We're worried that the family member is going to say she's okay. He's going to see it himself, say she's not okay. Now what? She ate the Tiruma retroactively, and no good. Therefore, the Mishnah Haruna says, again, Mishum Sinfon, push up the date until the time of the Chuppah. Okay, now we start the next Mishnah. Now let's just discuss some of the rules over here. We got to get this clarity. Once we got clarity in the way we used to work in the olden days with the ladies, Ma'asei Adayim, when she used to get married, then we'll be able to understand this Mishnah very good. In the olden days, even today, husband's obligated to give his wife mizonot. The mizonot is to feed his wife. Support, monetarily, food and things like that. That's called mizonot. Now, we're going to see in the Gemara, some giving you a heads up what the Gemara is going to say, is also an obligation, not an obligation, but a lady also has what's called Ma'asei Yadeha. Ma'asei Yadeha is her work. She goes to work, she makes money. Now, Ma'asei Yadeha, according to the Gemara, goes to the husband. That's the law. He gives her mizonot, and he gets her Ma'asei Yadayim. The Gemara is going to analyze what exactly is the takana that she gets mizonot and he gets her ma'asei yadayim. How is the takana established? One shita is going to say that no, the original takana is we're looking for the advantage of the lady. And therefore the rabbis initially started a takana, she gets mizonot. It started with mizonot. Once they established that she gets mizonot for her advantage, then they said, so there shouldn't be mahloket, she gives over her ma'asei yadayim. Because the husband's like, hey, listen, I'm feeding over here. Why, she keeps all her money to herself? So then it started off, mizonot liba'ala. No, mizonot niba'ala. That the husband has to support a mizonot. Once they established the mizonot, as a consequence, the rabbis also established that what the ma'asei yadayim goes to the husband. So they won't be fighting. But there's another way of looking at it, the Gemara is going to say, that no, the original establishment was that the Ma'asei Yadayim goes to the husband. And as a result, he feeds her.
What was the Ikar? Where did it start from? And this, you'll see in the Gemara, there'll be nafkaminot between the two ways that you're learning. I'll give you the nafkamina right away. Nafkamina will be like this. If you say it was to her advantage that she's getting mizonot, we're trying to help you, and then we're giving you mizonot, it's out tekana. She has a right to come along and say, don't help me. I don't want the mizonot, I want to keep my masi adayim. You're trying to help me, you're not helping me. Keep the mizonot. But if you say that the original tekana was no masi adayim goes to the husband, so she can't come along and say, I want to keep it. You can't keep it. The rabbi's way to tekana goes to the husband. You get mizonot as a result. So that would be enough coming out between what was the ikar tekana. Just keep that in mind. Mm. Now, besides that, there'll be another nafkamina. Whose ma'asei adayim is it? Meaning, let's say the husband comes along and wants them, says, I'm making the ma'asei adayim of my wife, hikdash. He wants to consecrate it. So the question is, whose ma'asei adayim is it? Well, if you come along and say that really the ma'asei adayim belongs to the wife, right? It's just that they made a takana so she doesn't fight to give over the mizonot to the husband. So it could be the husband does not have a right to make it hikdash. It really belongs to the wife. But if you say, no, the rabbi made a takana, ma'asei adayim goes to the husband, that's the starting point. So it could be he owns it, and if he has a right to make it hikdash, then that would also be a nafkamina. I'm going to wait for the Gemara to see it inside. There's another concept. Ma'asei adayim was not unlimited. Let's say she makes $1 million. She's not going to have all the ma'asei adayim. There was a certain amount that the Hakamim said how much she works. The Gemara measured it. It is how much thread, how much yarn she can thread. 5 sila'im of yarn, however much work that money that produces, that's considered ma'asei adayim. Anything after that number is considered mutar. Mutar is extra. Which means, let's give numbers just to make it clearer. Let's say the ma'asei adayim comes to $100. But she makes $300. So the $200 is called mutar. The establishment of the hakamim was the husband also gets the mutar. He also gets the 200. He gets ma'asei adayim plus the extra, anything beyond that. But there's a price for the mutar. To get the mutar, the husband accepts upon himself, he's going to give her allowance of one dinar per week. Allowance. Now, it's a good deal. Could be for the husband. He's getting a substantial amount. And he said, listen, I'm not going to leave you with anything. I'm going to give you the one dinar a week allowance that buys the husband the mutar. So he's getting ma'asei adayim and he's getting the motar. Now, based on these hagdamot, let's see if we can understand the next Mishnah. We start. Hamagdish ma'aseh yedeh ishto. So the guy comes along, I'm making my wife's money, her ma'aseh adayim, the money that she gets from her work, I'm making it hikdish. So the Tanakama, the Mishnah clearly says, harezu osa ve'ochelet. Mishnah says the hikdash doesn't hit. She continues to work and she can eat her ma'asei yadayim. Which means it's not the husband's to make an hikdash. You see the way the Mishnah says it? Harezu osa, she can continue working ve'ochelet. She can eat her ma'asei yadayim. Which means she doesn't have to. The rabbi's not going to tell, well, listen, the husband made an hikdash. You got it. It's off limits. Not off limits. You husband, you have no right to make your ma'asei yadayim of your wife. Hikdash. That's what the Tanakhama of the Mishnah is saying. Good? Case number two in the Mishnah. Hamotar, same case, but he did it by the motar. He said, the extra money that my wife is making, the above and beyond the ma'asei adayim, arezu, hikdash. Hey, we came to a machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yohanan Sandlar. Rabbi Meir omer, hikdash. Rabbi Meir says, he can make the motar. So it seems the motar is in the husband's reshut. Rabbi Yohanan Sandar Omer Hundin. No, there's no difference between the ma'asei adayim or the motar. Both remain Hundin. Okay. Now we get to the Gemara. That's basically the Mishnah. There's two cases according to the way that she's learning in the Mishnah. Case number one is his Magdishti.
Ma'asi Adayim. Case number two is Magdish to Motar. Tosfot learns Mishnah a little differently. Tosfot learns the case is one big case where you just Magdish everything, and then the Mishnah is telling us, well, the Ma'asi Adayim is this and the Motar is that. But he just did one Magdish. And he Magdish, it's called Ma'asi Adayim Shel Ishti. So now you have to deal because there's two parts of Ma'asi Adayim. There's Ma'asi Adayim and the Motar. Whereas she learns, no. The guy is two separate stories. The first guy said just the Ma'asi Adayim per se. And the second case is he said the motar. Okay, that's shitat Rashi. Now let's get to the Gemara. Amar Ravuna, Amar Rav. Ravuna is the name of Rav. Yechola isha lomar lebaala. A lady is allowed to tell her husband any nizonet ve any osa. Right? She can come along and say, listen, don't give me mizonot, and I want to keep my own my money for myself. It's a prerogative. As we learned, if you learn that the original takana was to the lady's benefit, that we're giving you mizonot because we want to help you, she's able to say, don't help me. Keep your mizonot. You're trying to give me advantage. I don't want your advantages. Keep your advantages and I'll keep my money. So therefore, the Gemara says, Kasabar must be Ravuna in the name of Rav must hold. Kitekinu Rabbanan mizoneh. When the rabbis established mizonot to the wife, ikar. That was the ikar tekana. That mizonot go to. It started with mizonot. Umaaseyadeh mishum eva. And then the maaseyadeh was a consequence of the original tekana of mizonot, which means the rabbis were concerned to help the lady. So sometimes the lady, her maaseyadeh is not enough to support her. So the rabbis were concerned. Maybe she's not going to have enough food. She says, you know what? Husband, you must support your wife. And then as an afterthought, they said, you know what, now that he's supporting you, you know what, you better give the Ma'asi Adayim to him, because it's not going to be, he's going to get all upset. Now I'm supporting you, I don't get anything back. So based on that, really, the Ma'asi Adayim really belongs to the wife. So technically she can come along and say, V'chi Amra, any nizonet. She can come along and say, I don't want the mizonet, I mean, don't do me any favors. V'eni osa, harishud biyada. Good. That's the way Ravuna Amarav understands the mechanics of mizonot and ma'asi adayim. If that's the case, our Mishnah has a problem. Let's speak it out outside. Because what did our Mishnah say? If the husband makes the ma'asi adayim mikdash, it's not hal. Now we said it's cholin. Now, according to our Mishnah, it's mashma what? That the ma'asi adayim is in the possession of who? The ma'asi adayim is in the possession of the wife, because if it was in the possession of the husband, he would be able to make an ikdash. So the Gemara says metive. I jumped the gun. There's a metive before that. Tiknu mizonot ta'at ma'asi adayim. We have another statement that says the exact opposite, that the ikar takana was ma'asi adayim, which means the rabbis established takana number one. Ma'asei Adayim goes to the husband. And as a result of that, they told him, give mizonot. So it's mashmash the opposite of what Ravuna Amar Rav is saying. So Gemara answers, no, ema tiknu ma'asei Adayim tahat mizonot. Flip it. Say that in the Chanami, it was mizonot that was established, and ma'asei Adayim was a result of the mizonot. Now we can bring a proof from our Mishnah to this opinion. Why? Very simple. Who is the Ma'asi Adayim really belong to according to Ravuna Amar Rav? Her. And therefore, when the husband makes Hikdesh on Ma'asi Adayim, what did the Mishnah say? It doesn't work. Yeah. We understand why. Because the Ikar Ma'asi Adayim really belongs to the wife. What's the proof? Proof is she's able to say, I'm keeping my Ma'asi Adayim, you keep your Mizonot. That really shows that the Ma'asi Adayim intrinsically was only given to the husband because of Eva, because we don't want him to have Mahlok. But who's really the owner of the Ma'asi Adayim? She is. If she wasn't the owner of the Ma'asi Adayim, she would not have the ability to say, I'm keeping it and you just keep your Mizonot. So the Gemara says, Lema Misayale. I bring you a proof from our Mishnah. Proof. It's a proof. Hamagdish Ma'asi Yide'ishto. Right, he's Magdish Ma'asi Adayim of his wife. Hare hi osa ve'ochelet. That what she can continue doing the Ma'asi Adayim, it's hard, she can eat them, she's like, this is not hal. Now the Gemara has to make one condition here. My love benizonet. You have to say the case is talking about over here, benizonet. Now what does benizonet mean? Not that the husband is actually, the case of the Mishnah, not that he's actually giving mizonot. because if he's actually giving mezonot, then of course the ma'aseh adam belongs to him. Then of course the hekdesh will be hal. It means that he's in a position to be that much means he has money where he's able to support her. That she says, "Ma'ida b'shiyeshto nechasim umbakesh lazuna v'afidu aki tenan em ma'aseh adam." Which means we're talking about a case where he has the ability to support her, and still what's the Mishnah saying? That the Ma'aseh Yadayim really is in the possession of the wife to make it that the Hekdesh is not going to be hal, like Rav Huna Amar Rav is saying. The Gemara says no b'she'ena nizonet. Now you know what I'll tell you? The case is talking about where the husband is not in the position to support his wife. Okay, so if he's not in the position to support his wife, for sure the Ma'aseh Adayim in that case belongs to the wife. That's why. Which means, again, for Ravuna Amar Rav, we want to prove him, right? So I'll tell you, the only way you can prove him is that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the husband is in a position to be Mezina's wife, so therefore technically he can be Mezin, and still the Mishnah is saying what? He cannot make Ma'aseh Adayim Hekdesh. That tells me what? That it's really the ladies, like Ravuna Amar Rav said. So listen, who told you? Maybe I'll take the case of the Mishnah is talking about. The reason why the husband can't do it is because he's not in a position to support. Okay, so when he's not in a position to support, for sure the it belongs to the... What, she's going to get nothing? She's not going to get Mizonot. Anyway, you want him to have the Ma'aseh Adayim? That's for sure we're not going to say. She's not worse than an Eved, by the way. So therefore, you have no proof on this point of Ravuna Amar Rav. So Gemara says, "Ibishena nizonet ma'ide mimra." If she's not getting Mizonot, what's the case? What's the Hiddush of the Mishnah? You're telling me that what? She's not getting Mizonot. And I need the Mishnah to tell me that if he makes her Ma'aseh Adayim Hekdesh, it's not hal. Of course, the poor lady. You're not giving her Mizonot. And now you want to say, her Ma'aseh Adayim is not hal either? If she's not getting Mizonot, of course the Ma'aseh Adayim belongs to her. What do I need the Mishnah to tell me that? So the Gemara says, Afidu leman de'amar, even according to the opinion that says, Yachol harav lomar de'eved. A guy is able to tell his Eved Kena'ani. Aseh imi ve'eni zancha. He'll have to tell you, Eved Kena'ani, work for me and I'm not going to feed you. He loses on both sides. I want your work and you're not getting fed. That only works by an Eved Kena'ani can make such a deal. It doesn't say that you have to treat him as an equal. But Eved Ivri that says you got to treat him like an equal, you can't take his work and not feed him. All the more so, you can't treat your wife that way. Which means there's no question that you're going to say that I'm not feeding you, but the Ma'aseh Adayim belongs to me. The wife is not worse than an Eved Ivri. So therefore, we're back to the question. The Mishnah's case at this point, I can tell you, is talking about the husband is not supporting his wife. Oh, he's not supporting his wife. So that's why the Ma'aseh Adayim belongs to the wife. And since the Ma'aseh Adayim belongs to the wife in that case, that's why he cannot make it Hekdesh. The Gemara says, that's the case of the Mishnah. It doesn't make sense to say that. It's Pashut, because he cannot make it Hekdesh. What do you want to tell me? That he's not going to feed her and the Ma'aseh Adayim belongs to him? No. But you're making the wife like an Eved Kena'ani? So the Gemara says, you're right. Sefa it's tarikhale. You're right, there's no Hiddush in the Resha. You know what the Hiddush in the Mishnah was? It was the setup to get to the end of the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah is the Hiddush. What's the end of the Mishnah say? Motar. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ekdesh, Yohanan, Sadar Omer, Chulin. Let's review, what was the last case in the Mishnah? Where the husband makes, not Ma'aseh Adayim Ekdesh, where he makes the Motar Ekdesh. What's the Motar Ekdesh? The extra money that after the Ma'aseh Adayim, it comes along and says, it's Hekdesh. What did the Bimeir say? The Bimeir said, it's Hekdesh. So the Hiddush in the Mishnah is that the Mutar really belongs to the husband. Why does the Mutar belong to the husband? Because he's paying for it. How's he paying for it? Because he's giving it the dinar. So the Hiddush in the Mishnah is that Mutar belongs to the husband. You're right, the first part of the Mishnah that he can't make Hekdesh on Ma'aseh Adayim. Of course he cannot make Hekdesh on Ma'aseh Adayim. He's not feeding her. Why would I think he can? You're right, Pashut. It's the setup to get the case number two of Motar. And what's the Hiddush over here? That
There is a Hiddush over here, by the way. The Hiddush over here, as we're going to see, is Alibad Rabbi Meir. That even though the case of the Mishnah is where he's not supporting guys, not supporting guys, still he can make the Mutar Hikdish. And we'll see exactly how that works. Which means the Chawraf, he's not supporting her. I understand that the Masih Adam is not his. How can the Mutar be his? What's the logic? He can make it Hikdish. So the Gemara is going to say, interesting. You're right. He cannot make the Mutar Hikdish in his life because the Mutar is not his either. But when she dies, he inherits the Mutar. I don't know, when the lady dies, she inherits the Mutar. So the Hiddush is, according to Rabbi Meir, pay attention, he could say Hikdesh now, even though right now it doesn't work, but it can be pending that once she dies, then already the Mutar is going to belong to him because he gets it as an inheritance. So the Hiddush is, even though you might call this a classical case of Davar Shelo Ba'la Olam, we have a whole question when it comes to Hikdish. Normally the case of Hikdish is you have an item in front of you. Yeah? This guy says that is a Hikdish. Okay, it's in front of you. But are you allowed to make Hikdish on a situation that did not come yet? That's called Ha'im Adam Yachol Lehikdish Davar Shelo Ba'la Olam. Now this would be a classic case of being Magdish Dabar Shelo Ba'ala Olam, which means she didn't die yet. She's still alive. The Mutar belongs to when she's alive. Hers, of course, because the whole case Mishnah, he's not even giving up his not. So it all belongs to her. And the Mishnah comes along and says, Ali Badr Abi Meir, I'm making your Mutar Hikdesh. So what does the Deen say? The Deen says, Hikdesh. What is Hikdesh? Hikdesh only going to hit La Harmita when it's in his possession. Oh, so therefore the Bibi is teaching me a big Hiddush. Adam Yachol Lagdish Davar Shelo Ba La'olam. And that's what it's saying. Now, it should be noted that this is the understanding of Rav Hunan, the name of Rav. Because if you remember, Rav Hunan, the name of Rav, said that really the Ma'asiyah Adayim belongs to who? Belongs to the wife. Ikata kana was what? Mezonot. She's able to say, don't give me the mezonot, keep me my Ma'asiyah Adayim. Okay? So it belongs to her. So therefore, you have to explain the end of the Mishnah, when the Bimi'ir says by the Mutar also really belongs to the wife. Okay? Because she's not feeding her. He's not feeding her, so technically the Mutar belongs to him, to her. How can it be Hikdesh then? So you have to say the Hikdesh is going to be Hal after Mitah when it does belong to the husband. And the Hiddush is that he's able to do it now for the future. To that the Gemara says, Ufliga Derish Lakish. This Derech is arguing on the Shlakish. What did the Shlakish say? Damar Shlakish. Don't learn to be Meir like that. Don't learn to be Meir and say the reason why he's saying the Mutar is like this because he can be Magdish Tavar Shalom Ba'ala Olam. Ela Ta'amad Rabbi Meir Mitok Shiachol Lachufa Lema'ase Yadeha. Since the husband can force her and say, give me your Ma'ase Yadayim, Rabbi Rishtakish learns different than Rav. Rishtakish learns that the Ma'asi Adayim belongs to the husband. He can actually tell her, you have to give me the Ma'asi Adayim. So therefore, Na'asa ka'omer la yikdishu yadecha le'osehin. It's not Davar Shelo Ba'ala Olam. Because since he's able to say, I want your Ma'asi Adayim, so therefore, even though the Ma'asi Adayim didn't come to the world yet, nothing yet, not the Ma'asi Adayim is here, not the Mutar is here, nothing came yet. It's something in the future. It's not the future. Because since he could demand it, it's as if he's saying, whatever your hands produce are mine, and the hands are in the world. Wow. Understand? Our hands are here. So therefore, that's Ma'olam. Which means the Shtakish understands a little differently. According to the first way of understanding, the husband cannot say, give me the Ma'asi Adayim. Because according to the first way of learning, mizonot is to our advantage, and really the ma'asi adam belongs to the wife. He cannot tell her, give me your ma'asi adam. She can come along and say, I'm keeping it. So therefore, since keep it, then you have to already explain the end of the Mishnah that you're coming under the mashal about olam, because really it's hers. So how is it ikdesh? After she dies, it's ikdesh the mashal about olam. Rabbi, the Shekish does differently. No. Ma'asei adayim really belongs to the husband. Haraya, he holds the husband can tell the wife, you give me the ma'asei adayim, it's mine. Oh, it's yours. Oh, so if it's yours, so now when the husband says in the Mishnah that, for example, motar is hikdesh, but it's not here yet. Doesn't matter. Since he could force her to give it to him, not only ma'asei adayim and motar, you have to say both of them, he could force to give it. So therefore, it's as if he's saying what? Your hands. What your hands, the hands are here. What your hands are accomplishing, I get. So the Gemara says, yeah, one problem, but Gemara says, V'halo amar. V'halo amar la'achi. But he didn't say that, but his language was, the motar is ikdesh. He didn't say your hands are ikdesh. It's very nice to finish, like he's to read into the Mishnah and say, it's not talking about a futuristic item, it's talking about something that's in the present, your hands that are there, beautiful. But the guy didn't say that. Which if the Mishnah would have said, in a case where the guy says, Ma'asei yadayi chikdesh, very nice. But the guy said, motar, the extra money. He didn't say anything about our hands. He's talking about the money. The money's not here yet. So we have to understand, Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that says like this, En adam motzi devarav lebatala. When a guy talks, he doesn't talk stam. If something comes out of his mouth, he doesn't waste his words. You always have to say, whenever a person says something, you give it definition. You don't just say, it's stuyot what he said. Can I give you an example? There's a Mishnah in Erchin. You know, a guy can come along and say, Erchi alai, I want to give my value to the Beit HaMikdash. And the Torah gives us a value. According to the age of the person, that's the value, right? The value starts from 1 month old. The Torah does not put a value on somebody that's less than a month. Less than a month, there's no erich. Good? The Bimeir has a case. Guys are sitting, and there's a kid less than 1 month old sitting in front of him, right? So he comes along and says, I want to pay to the Beit HaMikdash the erich of this kid. The kid's less than a month. So if you're going to say that a guy says things about Talah, that means he said nothing. And therefore he doesn't got to pay a penny because the kid's less than a month. But if you say, and we do say this, that according to me, in Adam Motsi Devrav Labat Talah, we say what he meant was to say is, he knows that there's no edit for a guy, a kid less than a month. What he means to say is, Demi Alai. I want to donate to the Beit HaMikdash my value, not value of edit. But my value, if you are going to be sold as an Eved, how much I'd be able to get for that money? I want to give that to the Beit HaMikdash. Now, what are you reading into his words? He didn't say that, no, that. Because a person does not just say words, according to the Bimeir, that are meaningless words. We'll answer it up, we'll explain it, in order to give credence, or in order to give meaning of consequence to his words. That's the Shita. En Adam Motzi Et Devarav Lebatala. So let's go to our Mishnah. Once you know Rabbi Meir holds El Adam Motzi Devarav Lebatala, what do you say in the Mishnah? Motar is going to be Hekdesh. What do you mean Motar going to be Hekdesh? Motar didn't come to the world yet. En Adam Magdish Davar Shlo Ba'olam. Ela must be what he really meant was the hands that are here. That's going to be Hekdesh. What your hands produce, and the hands are there. When the Shtakish is going to say, I know he didn't say it, but it's as if he said it. Because if you don't read into his words, he said nothing. Because then he's saying something that is futuristic. So the Gemara says, he didn't say it. Beautiful. So now let's go slow. The Shtakish is holding like this. En Adam Magdish Davar Shiloba La'olam. That's a fact he wants to say. and the hadush of them, and what's the case of the Mishnah? The guy came along, husband said, motar hikdesh. What do you mean motar hikdesh? There's no motar over here. She didn't, the only way to get motar hikdesh, the motar belongs to the husband. Because according to the shtakish, the husband could say, I'm getting your ma'asei adam. The husband could force her, give me the ma'asei adam. Good. So it belongs to the husband. But she didn't get it yet. She doesn't have it yet. So the Gemara says, no, the case is talking about where he comes along and says, your handiwork, which means the stuff that your hands produce, that belongs to me. Okay, that's bad. The hands are there. The means that she supports herself is in the world. Oh, very good. So Masiya Daim is good, but he didn't say it. It's as if he said it. So the Gemara said, wait, only one problem. The only problem is like this. The problem is going to be like this. Rabbi Meir holds a person can be Magdish Davar Shelo Ba'al HaOlam. A person can do something even though it did not come to the world yet. How do you know that? This question on the Shakish. I'm going to read you the Gemara. Gemara says, "V'atanya." Sorry, the Sabbat be Meir Enadam Magdish Davar Shelo Ba'al HaOlam. Well, he holds like that. He cannot be Magdish Davar Shelo Ba'al HaOlam. V'atanya Ha'omer Li'isha. Guy tells a lady, "Hareat Mekudeshet Li La'Hashet Gayir." I'll be married to you after I convert. We didn't convert yet. That's the Vashal Ba'al HaOlam again. So it didn't come to the world yet. Or, Lahashit Gaidi, or after you convert. Lahashit Ishtahrir, he's an Eved, after I get free. Lahashit Ishtahrir, or after you get free. Lahashit Yamut Ba'alich, after your husband dies. Or Shitamut Ahotech, or after your sister dies. He's married to a sister. He can't marry two sisters. When his wife dies, your sister, then I'll be married to you. Or I'm married to you after you make chalitza. She felt the yibum to somebody. After the brother-in-law makes chalitza to you, I'll be mekudeshet. So you see what? You can't be mekudesh something that did not yet come to the world yet. All these things didn't happen yet. So the Gemara answers, you're right. But mehahi in. Yes, from that case of Kiddushin, you clearly see that you can't be Magdish Davar Shelo Ba'al HaOlam. Meha leka lemishma mina. But from our Mishnah, you have no proof. Which means, if you ask me, what's the Bimir Shita according to the truth? Yes, Adam Yachol Magdish Davar Shelo Ba'al HaOlam. You see clearly from the case of Kiddushin. The guy's a goy. He's saying, Hare at Mekudeshet Li after I convert. He didn't convert yet. But you see, you can do things for the future. All the Shtakish was saying, don't bring me a proof from our Mishnah that he holds like that. Because the only way to bring a proof from our Mishnah is to say like this. That what? I'll tell you that the other way we learned is what? That the Mutar really belongs to the wife. That was the first way we learned. The Mutar belongs to the wife. Right? Mm-hmm. And the only way he can make an Ekdesh, because Mimi says it's Ekdesh. You have to say it's pending until after he dies. After she dies, when he inherits. And therefore you're working the Mishnah with the Davar Shelo Ba'al HaOlam. All this Takish was saying, don't bring me a proof. I could learn the Mishnah differently. Don't get involved with Davar Shelo Ba'al HaOlam. I can tell you the Mishnah is talking about a simpler case. That what? We're going according to the opinion that says really the Ma'asi Adam and the Mutar really belongs to the husband. What's the proof? Because the Takish says the husband could force the wife to give him the Ma'asi Adayim. That means Ikar Takana is what? Ma'asi Adayim go to the husband. Oh, if that's the case, so therefore it's not that, oh, but there's no, she didn't make any Ma'asi Adayim yet, and she didn't make any Mutar yet. So the Gemara said, so it is the Ma'asi Adayim. Rabbi Yishaki will tell you no. It's saying Ma'asi Adayim, which means your hands, I get whatever is from your hands. I shouldn't say it, as it's as if he said it. Baruch Adonai le'olam.
Amen ve'amen.